It's Shabbat Tazria, and that means conceived. Some really quite, we could describe this as yucky verses that we've got here with the different offerings and skin outbreaks and this, that, and the other. Some of it's really quite sort of biological. This whole section about conception and the birth of a son or a girl and the different offerings and time periods and so on. I just think how special must a girl be that she gets a double length of time for a woman. It's a way to look at it. A double length of time. So special are girls in that way. And actually, of course, joking aside, that is a Jewish tradition because, of course, to a woman, it was a privilege to give birth to Mashiach. And from the Jewish thinking, this is why Miriam is to be praised and blessed, of course, as we read in the scriptures, because it was known that to a Jewish woman would be the high honour of giving birth to Mashiach. And it is indeed a privilege to be a woman, a Jewish woman in that way. And so our portion this morning was from Leviticus 12, 1 to 8, from Haftarah was 2 Kings 7, 3 to 8, and from the Messianic writings was the Besorah, the good news according to Lucas, and that was chapter 5, 12 through to 16. I called the talk this morning somewhat enigmatically. It will make sense, trust me, dot to dot. It'll all add up in a moment. I like films. I'm sure, like a lot of you, I enjoy switching on. I don't do Netflix anymore, but you know, you get a good film on TV, you like to sit down and watch it. And sometimes these films I find quite powerful. One of my top 10 films, because there's a handful, obviously, well, 10 of them probably, actually, but one of those top films that I really, really enjoy is a film called Signs. You may have seen it with Mel Gibson. It's one of my type of films anyway. It's got aliens in it, and it's all a bit kind of scary in places. But that's not really what the film is all about. As much as the sci-fi bit and the aliens are interesting, the actual film itself is about Mel Gibson, who plays the role of a Catholic priest who struggles with his faith. That's really what the film is about. The aliens, although scary at places, and they are actually secondary to the main plot that unfolds as this man battles with his faith and trying to make sense of it all. That's what the film is all about, understanding the patterns of life to make it make sense, or trying to get it all to make sense. And as he battles with this through the film, you can see his inner faith struggles to try to understand it. The good news is, if you've seen it, you'll know his faith returns at the end of the film because he suddenly gets what his life is all about. Aliens or no aliens, he understands God's pattern of his life. It's quite a moving film, actually, in many ways, beautifully portrayed and filmed. If you look at the film with those glasses, you can be really deeply stirred. A man who's struggling with God and yet at the end of it all understands what is happening in his life. It returns because that pattern now suddenly makes sense for him. And it's this patterning, which is why it's so important, that I really want to focus on this morning. It's why the film speak so much to this morning's portion. It's really about discovering God's pattern for our lives, understanding in a sense what that dot to dot is all about, what this is really happening in our lives, and understanding it to make sense. Let's just stand back for a moment from the patterning. Keep that in your head, but just stand back for one moment. Imagine for a second you could somehow just hover above your life, or hover above life in general. It remove all sense of the causality in it. What would you actually see? One long stream of apparently disconnected events. Because that's kind of what our lives are, if you think about it. We get up, we do this, we go here, we go there. You know, some would say, well, okay, Rabbi, you got up in the morning, and next thing I see is you're eating ready break. Now, you could think to yourself, okay, the first event, getting out of bed, second event, eating ready break, and you could say the two events are completely unconnected, and maybe they are. And it's only when I then tell you that because I was that high when I started eating ready break that I fell in love with it, that's why I'm still eating it today, that you realize there's a link between the two events. Get up, have breakfast is ready break, eat ready break, yeah? I like ready break. Suddenly, the events in our lives are not just random events. Cause and effects, and then you get into the closer analysis of all the debate around how our lives are structured, what actually happens in our lives, what happens around us, to us, through us, to other people. You begin to look at the effects of things, greater or lesser, how much influence X or Y has in that choice or decision, and you begin to understand that as random as our lives may be seen, that actually things are connected and they do make sense if you know what the pattern is. That's the critical bit in all of this. But there are connections. There used to be a TV program, if you were a certain age like myself, you'll remember it. I think it was with Michael Burke, called Connections. And he explored this whole idea of a butterfly flapping her wings in China and a storm breaking out in America kind of thing. But the concept is good. Things have connections all the way through our lives, everything that we experience. And here is the key to understanding, I think, for us as human beings, as people, and how it connects also with the bigger pattern, really, of what's happening in today's portion. Every single individual, all people everywhere, every single person, absolutely guaranteed, will and does seek a pattern in the universe. We do. We're hardwired by the law to do this. It's part of our creational structure of who we are as people. When we are born and we get old, we begin to look around us. We want to try and make sense of it all. Babies do it, trial and error. We go through schools, we're still learning. All this process, all the way through our lives, what we're trying to do is to find that pattern. Because our lives are not random. They're not random. There's a form, a structure, a purpose. There's something going on for every single person, and the problem is we are trying to work it out. All people try and work it out. Those who know the Lord, those who don't know the Lord, I guarantee you every single person right now is trying to answer that question. Why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? Why is this happening to me? And you know, sometimes on the programs they say, look, don't even ask that. It's a stupid question. Why is it happening to you? What are you trying to say? You'd rather it happen to someone else. No, no, no. See, these people don't understand the question that people are asking. It's not that they wish it would happen to someone else. They're literally asking, why is this happening to me? What is the purpose of this? What is the point of all of this? Why am I here? Why am I born? And why am I going through all of this? And so we seek answers to try and pattern those answers for ourselves. We try, ultimately, to try and make sense of life. Human beings are meaning seekers. Finding purpose, self-realization through discovery of deeper meaning. And why do we do that? Because we don't like the idea that we are merely passive recipients of a life out of control. It scares the life out of people. If all your life is a roller coaster of random events over which you have absolutely no control, at that point, frankly, you could despair. What a life that would be. We don't like it. It's unpredictable. We feel insecure. We want to know answers. We want some structure. We want to get it. We want to know why we are who we are and what our purpose in life is. So we seek pattern. Hence the dot to dots that I was talking about earlier. It's important seeking pattern. It's very human. I'll give you a couple of examples. You're laying on your back in the desert. You'd have to be in the desert to really see the glory of all of this. You could do it in your back garden, but probably in summer rather than winter. At night, right? No clouds. And what do you see? Stars. The beautiful stars across the heavens. Single pinpricks of light, randomly apparently dotted across the heavens. And yet, from such dots across the heavens, vast images are drawn by certain people giving meanings. You know, people pouring water from vases. Goats. Twins, right? You know what I'm talking about here. See, when I'm looking up at the stars, I'm thinking, wow, look at the beauty of the heavens. Lord, you are amazing. And some people are going, well, of course, that's Aquarius, and, right? And they're off. right? But do you see what I'm saying here? We try to understand and give meaning to things that otherwise seem random because we want to understand things. People do the same with tea leaves. I mean, think about it for a second, right? I'm sorry. You know, you drink a cup of tea empty, it's left with a whole batch of random tea leaves, and someone will come along and go, oh, right? Well, no, it's tea leaves, right? But why do people do this? They do it because they're seeking pattern. To seek pattern is to get meaning. Try and dig a little bit deeper through all of this, and you get the joining of the dots. Begins to make sense as you join dots. Meaning is allocated and we understand the way things are. And of course, the problem is that secularists will come along and yes, they will scoff at such things, believing everything in life is random, having no meaning or deeper purpose. And yes, we can knock people who read tea leaves and horoscopes because frankly, you know, they're trying to get meaning. But that's exactly the point. They are trying to get meaning. In a world which appears to be completely random, these people actually underneath it all, are trying to reach out to God. But they're looking in the wrong place. God is not in tea leaves. He's not in some random image you've joined dots in the heavens. He's not in that. He's in this. He's in Revelation. He's able to speak to us and, ultimately, through this, what is it he gives us? Meaning. Meaning, purpose. When you wake up in the morning, you think, why am I here today? You don't just think, it's just here to breathe a bit more and let my heart beat another X thousand times before I go to bed, and that is the purpose of today. No, the purpose of today is you get up, you bless God, you bless other people, you do the mitzvot, you're righteous, you shine forth the life of the living God of Israel. There is a purpose to your life. So you get on your knees first thing in the morning and you say, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful new day that you brought me through last night. You brought me safely to today. Lord, this day will have challenges, but let's go, let's do it together. And let's make a difference today, Lord. Because there's purpose in it all. Now, lives are not just random. Yes, people can be superstitious because they're looking for God in the wrong places. And we have to point people to the right place, the scriptures. The existence, reality of our God. But we seek meaning. I'm going to teach you a word this morning. One you'll know, the second I doubt you will know. Human beings are prone to do this because of our seeking for meaning. And the two words is one, epiphany, and the other one is apophany. That's the one you probably didn't know. Epiphany occurs when real insight is gained into something otherwise hidden or not revealed. In other words, you suddenly join the dots. Right? We've got light going on moment. You get it. You understand it. That's an epiphany. The apophany is where people join the dots in a way that does not make sense or understanding, but actually goes on to hide the truth. And people do this with scripture. I'm not talking about meaning in random terms here this morning. I'm getting to our portion. I'm getting there. Hang on. I'm getting there, all right? But there is a point in all of this. Because we do this with the Word of God. Actually, it's worse than that. We can do the same with our lives. You see, something will happen in our life, and we immediately begin to try to unpack it and explain it and create a pattern with it. Now, there may or may not be a pattern, but we do this all the time. I know, I do it all the time. As believers, we do it all the time because we know there's a purpose and pattern to our lives. And when we see things happening, we begin to think, oh, that happened because of that. This happened because of that. And away we go. And those patterns that we are seeking, those patterns of understanding we're getting can often be true because they're scriptural patterns. But we're still looking for the reality of pattern, an epiphany, if you like, in our lives. But some people approach these things and they get it wrong. You know, as a young believer, it never stopped amazing, right? To think, but hang on a minute, you know, the different sects with Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or whatever it was, and I'll be looking at things, but you read the same Bible. Don't you get this? Well, they didn't. And you get frustrated because you think, but you're reading the same words that I am reading. How come I get it and you don't? Same dots, people joining in different patterns. That's what people do. You see the same words, you read the same, but one is an epiphany, the other will be an apophany. They just don't get it. It just doesn't make sense. And yet it really is important to get this right. Some people will clearly just say to you, oh, it's okay, just read the word and you will get it. You know what? Many people read the word of God. Academics read the word of God. And you read some of their conclusions, you'd pull your hair out. Which brings me almost to the point I'm coming on to in a second. But you would. Some of the liberal ideas and concepts, that all depends on what pattern you are placing upon Scripture. If you put the wrong pattern upon Scripture, the conclusions you will draw will be wrong. Same words, dots joined in a different way. And do it all the time. We must get it right. One example, a modern example that we all know, of course, in our own day, is the so-called Palestinians. You know, how does the world look at the Palestinians? The world looks at them as the underdogs and the oppressed, right? If you're an underdog and you are oppressed, what are you? Right. You must be, because you're the underdog and you're oppressed, okay? Anyone who's oppressed, they're the good guys. The ones who are doing the oppressing, they're the bad guys. But that is joining dots. And it's joining dots in the wrong way. Because it doesn't always add up that way. It doesn't always make sense in that way. So their cause is taken by the world as being the right position. Now, we know that's not our understanding of the word of God. We understand. What did God say? This land I've given to you in perpetuity. It belongs to us as the Jewish people. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we are therefore free to abuse other people or create situations which are unfair or unrighteous. That may or may not be the case. I'm going to just leave that and put that out there at that point. But the scripture says it quite clearly, and we join the dots quite clearly. The pattern we put upon it says to us, the land belongs to Israel, the Jewish people. That's a reality. But the facts on the ground so often look the same. Two different narratives running depending upon how you pattern and how you join those dots. And we think to ourselves, well, we would never do that, would we? We would never do that. Of course we'd never do that. The problem is our propensity to pattern according to our own needs and wants is extremely strong. Do not deceive yourself if you think that you are free of this propensity to join dots in the wrong way. When we have an agenda, I guarantee you, you'll start joining dots in the wrong way. Because why? You want it to be your way. And we will do this. That tendency, even inside us, to actually resist the Spirit of God at that point, who is, after all, the Spirit of truth, and we come and resist because we want it to go that way, and we want it to be that understanding, our propensity to resist is strong. Because we want it to match our own needs of what we want to see. Let me give you one real practical example, before we eventually get to the portion. Yeshua's response to a group of people. You know, in his time, he was watching a group of people who went up to the temple, and they placed on the altar, they went up to the priest, and they took their offerings, their finances, they took into the temple, and says, I want this to be korban, I want it to be an offering to the Lord. And what did Yeshua say to them? Basically, he said, what about your parents? Did you think about your parents? And of course, Yeshua knew what was happening with their parents. Of course, he was able to do that. And so he says to them at that point, you know, instead of supporting your parents financially according to the mitzvot, which is what you should have done, he says, you decided to play righteous and take it and put it on the temple altar. That's a difficult one. But they were joining the dots wrong. Because what these people were thinking was that maybe it looked a bit more righteous to be able to take your offering to the temple. Maybe it made you look good to the people around you because what you were doing seemed to be more spiritual. It was more superior than maybe the more mundane thing of making sure your mum or dad had something to eat. And Yeshua looked straight through it and effectively said to them, you're joining the dots wrong. You don't get it. You're playing a game. Even if it looked more righteous and more spiritual, fundamentally it wasn't, because doing it in the wrong way so wrong, in fact, that Yeshua had to challenge them on it, and said their actions undermined the actual spirit or intention of Torah. And yet one thing is clear. For those people involved in that action on that day, it was not at all obvious that they were drawing the dots wrong. And yet we do. We can. We have a propensity to do it. All of which brings me to the portion in a somewhat circuitous route, because it's about joining the dots in the right way. So, Leviticus chapter 13. And this is going to bless certain men of a certain age. You'll see what I mean. This is in chapter 13. I'm going to pick up on verse 40. The whole portion is talking about how you work out whether you've got tzara up or not. If a scab is over the skin, if there's a hair, if it's this much white, not that much white, doctors, you'll know. Your duties is a day in, day out. You know, you're looking at something and think, well, there's more dots there, there's less there. You know, you've got to try and work it out. This is what you do, all right? And this whole chapter 13 is all about bright spots on certain places of the body. It's not a boil, it's not this. Is it weeping, is it not? The colours of it, the number of hairs, and so on and so on and so on. Then you get right towards the end of that, and he says here, as for the man whose hair has fallen out of his head, he is bald, but he is okay. He is clean. I knew it would bless someone. He whose hair has fallen from his forehead, he is bald on his forehead, but he's okay. Now, joking aside, because we can laugh about it, the point I'm trying to make here in all this is quite clear. Having gone all the way through the list here of how you can work out whether you've got this skin disease or not, and the priest has got to discern it, he's got to judge it, he's got to come to a conclusion. In other words, the priest, at this point here, is in a position where they've got to start joining the dots. Is this or is this not tzara'ah? It's important you get it right, because if you get it wrong, you've got someone who actually is unclean remaining in the camp. And they need to be outside. It's really important they're outside, especially with the context of what causes tzara'ah, which is gossip, lashon hara. The person who goes around giving sometimes even a true report, but for evil intent, to cause harm, to cause problems to people. That's what causes tzara'ah, the skin outbreak. And it's important that such people are actually out the camp, because if they're in the camp, they cause damage and they cause harm. That's why it's important. But here you've got a man who's reading all of this or listening to all of this, and the lack of hair and the hair falling out is going, this isn't good, right? And beginning to panic. And it's almost like, I love that verse, because it's almost like the Lord looks down upon a bald man and says, look, just calm down. You're just bald, all right? But it's funny, but it's serious, because, you know, we can get into a position where you're thinking, yeah, but I'm joining the dots and I've got it. What have I done? I must have said something. I must have gossiped, or I must have said something harmful to X, Y, and Z person, and now my hair's falling out and I need to be outside the camp. You can get into a real position of condemnation at that point, to a point where you think you are analysing your life, trying to work it out and join the dots and discover something. And you know what? The Lord says to you, it isn't there. Stop it. Just stop. Because he understands our propensity to join dots in our lives, to try and make sense of what's happening to us. And so we dig away and dig away and dig away forever and a day and begin to join dots that we're inventing now, not even there, to try and get meaning and understanding. And we end up in a very bad place. You're just bored. It's all right. And it's a great relief as someone who's just beginning to lose a little bit here. I'm quite pleased about this verse. You know, it's very reassuring in some way. But this whole text effectively is about averting a false diagnosis of understanding of your life, a misunderstanding of the situation. Elos could be interpreted as a sign of God's displeasure, the beginning of God's judgment. And so the Lord just says, look, don't panic. If I am sending Sadaqah on you, it'll be in a different place in a different way. You need to see it correctly. You need to see where the dots are to join it up. So, okay, you're just bored. It kind of brings us to our lives, I think, in many ways. Because we know there are occasions, there are things going on in our lives that may or may not have any direct reasons, that may or may not at any particular given moment in time, frankly, make sense. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. And you're looking around, you're thinking, I just don't understand why this is happening. I don't get it. It seems unfair. It doesn't feel right. Why is this happening to me? We search around for reasons. We earnestly seek those answers as the pattern lovers that we are, because we want to know. And at moments like that, we need to be careful. We need to focus on the reality of what God is doing in our lives, and actually in many ways not run ahead of ourselves and maybe try to make too much sense of it. Last time I went through something which was deeply confusing and I really didn't understand. I remember saying to a couple of my peers at the time, I said, you know, I'm not even going to try to make sense of this. I am trusting God that in maybe a year or two from now, when I look back, I will get it. It will make sense. Because right now it doesn't. And we have to have that confidence. Because if we don't sometimes get hold of ourselves, like the bald man here, we can actually run on and begin to set up idols of our own imagination. I'll give you another example from the scriptures of this. The crippled man that Yeshua went to heal. Remember the event where he goes up to the crippled man and the people around him and say, well, yeah, but who sinned? Was it his mother? Was it his father? Was it the grandparents? Was it this? Or maybe someone cursed this, or maybe they were, you know, everyone is searching around for a pattern around this crippled man. How bizarre is a crippled man in front of you, and the only thing you can do is try to work out a pattern? Do you see what's going on? I can imagine Yeshua's frustration, thinking, you know what, let's just heal the guy. I know you want to understand, I know you want to have a pattern, I know you want to make it sense, so you've got to work it out, because we all love to do it. And so Yeshua basically he heals him. And add something really important on the end. And basically Yeshua says to him, well, look, it's not about who sinned or who did what. You know why this man is crippled? So the power of God can be shown. Though you didn't get that one, did you? Yeah? You were busy working out who had sinned, trying to understand it with your own templates of patterns of life and experience and understanding, applying this and applying that and thinking it kind of fits that. And all the time they're missing the point. They had no idea what Yeshua was doing. Let's put it this way. No idea what God was doing in that situation, because they were all approaching it with the wrong pattern. They didn't get it. What God was going to do was something completely outside of the box they had begun to construct, which gave them that nice, safe, predictable, secure environment of understanding what God is going to do. We can do this here. We can do it in our own community. We can sit here and say, well, you know, the Lord's given us this vision. He's going to do this and do that. And then this is going to happen. That's going to happen. I'm pretty sure that when God begins to act, it's going to be in a way which will surprise us all. It'll astonish us, because it'll be his way. And we're going to put a pattern on it. But in putting a pattern on it, we can begin to box God in. And things do happen in our lives for a reason. I'm sure, like me, most of us are not fully aware ever what those reasons are. And I do believe the Lord maybe protects us at times from that knowledge, because it would probably be too scary, too frightening. Now, I may know the causes of why things are happening to me. And still, even knowing the causes, I may still be groping in the dark for the reasons, because they're different things. And they are different things. I don't understand always why the Lord takes me through things in my life which are just frankly downright unpleasant. I don't understand it. I wish he didn't. But that's his prerogative. And actually, while I may not know the reason for it, or sometimes not even the cause for it, it does become clear in the end. And when I come throughout the other side, I begin to understand it. I get it. A new pattern, a new fresh way of understanding God's will in my life. And this is the place where we really have to begin to trust God. One of the phrases we've been using recently so often in our community is, let God be God. I feel He's stripping me bare of my sometimes false expectations, my false images of who He is, my misunderstanding of who God is. And it's painful when He strips you bare of these things. But ultimately, He wants us to know Him as He actually is, not as we think He is. And He will take that out of you so you actually see who He really is. He will take those glasses off so you can actually get a clear view. But we're forever holding on to them because they're our security. He wants us to see God who He truly is. I'm going to conclude with the words of Rav Shaul in the letter to the community in Ephesus. And in chapter 4, just a couple of verses here, 13 down to 15. I'm going to paraphrase Rav Shaul a little bit just to highlight what I'm trying to say here in many ways. He says this, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a being a perfect person, perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah, we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro by doctrines, by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, will grow up in all things in Messiah. You can see the bit I'm really focusing on here. I'm going to just adapt it slightly. I'm going to just replace the winds of doctrine here and replace it with the events of our lives. That we are not tossed about by the events of our lives, here and there, not understanding, not making sense of it all. But actually, he says, in Messiah, that we grow up and become mature in our faith. Why is that so important? It's actually a place of spiritual immaturity to be constantly tossed backwards and forwards by things that are happening, things you hear, different doctrines, different websites, different this, different that. That's actually a place of immaturity. Your views seem to be changing from one day to the next. Rav Shaul says we need to grow up in Messiah, that we have the full stature and fullness of Yeshua, of who He is, and become stable, mature, solid people. That when things crash against our shores in our lives, that we're not knocked here, there, and everywhere. That we're not then desperately trying to understand this pattern, that pattern, trying to make sense of it, but actually have a maturity in Messiah to be able to stand back and say, Lord, I don't always get this, but I trust You. I trust You. Your understanding of my life, my purpose for my life, why I'm even here. Lord, You know this, and I am going to deeply trust You that You understand that and are able to take my life in the direction that only You can take it in. Amen. That's maturity. That's real spiritual maturity. It's not a cop-out. I'm not saying that we don't sometimes get scared and freaked out by things in our lives. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the depth of maturity is in Messiah, that when we're in Him solidly and securely, we can confidently trust God for everything that is happening. We're led then by His will, His plan, acknowledge that our lives there are not out of control, but always under His control, ordered, moving in the direction that He wants and wills, as long as we also bend the knee. It's that spiritual maturity that we have to reach out for. Know God in our lives. In fact, knowing the pattern of God in our lives. That you can rightly join the dots, rightly understand when God is at work, that you get it, rather than standing in confusion. Not misinterpreting it equally to suit our own needs or purposes. Now, we should know what God wants from us. We should know what He wants. You know, sometimes people will say to you, and I've heard people say this, they say, well, Rabbi, I don't know. You know, I'm praying about this. I don't know whether the Lord wants me to keep kosher or not. Well, you know what? You should know that. It's in the scriptures. To say otherwise is super spirituality. We should know what God requires of us. It's in there often enough. That God has revealed to you, O man, what God requires of you, to walk in humility before the Lord your God, to trust him, to love him. It's all in there. I'm not making this up. We should know this deeply. Because to know this is to set us free from the prison of events. Those bars are bust open at that point because we know what God actually wants from us. We're not left in confusion to try and work it out. God has already joined the dots for us. If we apply his template to our lives, we'll get it. But that's a place of deep trust and faith. And I know you don't get that overnight. It's taken me decades to get really almost into that place. There is almost no shortcut to this. But if you're still young in your faith, let me encourage you. You will get there. You will understand. Keep going with the Lord. Keep pushing on. Keep trusting. Keep extending your faith. And you will see what his purpose for your life is. You will get it. Because God has joined the dots already for you. He will speak. He will, as Mel Gibson discovered, give signs at the right time and the right place. And guide you. And I know, you know, even as a congregation over the last 25 years or there have been moments three or four times when the Lord has quite clearly brought a course change back into the community because we've needed it. We were going astray. But we trust God to do that, not just as a community, but individually. We trust him to do that in our lives. That when we do begin to err one side or the other, trust him to bring you back to the straight and narrow path again. That's maturity. That's getting on with your life in the way of you knowing what he wants from you, how you are to live. That's responding in God in faith. And when he needs to speak and give you a sign, he will do so. But we should be careful of over-patterning as much as under-patterning. We just need to know God's pattern. We need to know, as it were, when we look up at the stars that he has created, that we join them in the way that he wants us to do it. We read the word of God. We join the words in the way that he wants us to join them. And only in that way. And I'm not promising you this morning that you will therefore have the answer for everything, that you'll understand the reasons for everything, but what you will have is a security in God, a confidence that whatever breaks on the shores of your life, God is in control. He's not just abandoned you to the waves. It will make sense. It does make sense. And when you look back and you will know that it made sense. That is trust and faith. Amen. Abinamon Kino, Father, we thank you that you don't just leave us to our own devices in a sense or to join dots and to try to make sense. Father, when we do that, we can so often get it wrong. Father, you've shown us in your word. You've given us your spirit. Father, I pray that when we want sense, Lord, that we won't try and grab a pencil and make designs of our own imaginations. But Lord, we will listen to your spirit. Listen to you speak through that kind, gentle word, that word and voice of your spirit speaking to us, Lord. Father, make us aware, Lord, that we are more deeply discerning of what you're doing in our lives. So trust you more, we pray. Lord, just take us to that place of maturity. Father, we want to be found in that fullness of the stature of Mashiach. And Father, we need that maturity in our lives. Father, we pray, take us there, we pray. Amen. Amen.